In the last devotional or pep talk or whatever we're going to call it this week, I talked about, I mentioned the fact that Jesus said to his disciples, I have many things that I want to tell you, but you can't bear them now. And maybe you've not realized this or thought about it this way, but these guys, these disciples that Jesus was training and teaching, they were not born again Christians. They were old covenant Jewish people who, you know, they were not, they had not, there was no atonement yet. There was no sin sacrifice, once and for all sacrifice of Jesus was not available yet. And so these guys are, they are still living. They are still in the race of Adam. They are still living in the dirt world. They are living according, some of them, according to the covenant that God had established with his people, the people of Israel. But they had not stepped into the place where Jesus was ministering from. And Jesus came as the first. It's important to understand this. I say it often on these devotionals, but it's important to understand that Jesus came as a new race of being in the earth. It calls Jesus, the Bible, the New Testament, and look it up. The Bible calls Jesus the last Adam. Paul wrote this. Why? Because the first Adam had a race of people made in his likeness. The last Adam also has a race of people made in his likeness. What is the likeness of the last Adam? Sinless righteousness, and he is not born of the earth. He is born from heaven. Jesus was the seed of heaven. Heaven and earth came together to make a new man, a new creation, a new creature. And Jesus said, I'm the firstborn among many brothers, or many just like me. He also said of himself, if a seed falls to the ground, it will not bear an abundance of fruit. And also Paul writing that God in, well, actually it's not Paul. We don't know who wrote it, but it's in Hebrews. Maybe I should just read that if I can find it here real quick. In Hebrews, I think maybe chapter 2, verse 10. For it was fitting for him for whom and by whom all things exist in bringing many sons to glory to make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. So we're talking about God giving birth to a new race of heavenly humanity that he calls sons. When God delegates something to be done in his stead, like he could do it, but that's not the way God operates. He delegates responsibility to family. He doesn't give it to strangers. He doesn't give it to just Joe Blow. He gives it to family, but he had to make us family. God's family is just like him. You know, you, if you're a dad, you, and you have children, they look like you. And that is the point of Christ, that we are of him, that we are of God. If we are his offspring, we are of him. And even Peter talks about that we have been made partakers of his divine nature. And I mentioned in the last one that in Colossians 2:10, we are complete in him. We're not waiting for something else to happen in order to operate as sons of God in the earth. We have it within us. We've got it. Now, Paul's continued teachings of Christ that he writes about, he teaches in all of the New Covenant, the New Testament, where we read Paul's letters to the churches. We find Paul teaching out of the revelation of what Christ has accomplished for us as sons, what Christ has already accomplished for us as sons. And the mystery of this accomplishment, Paul reveals as Christ in us, the hope of glory. We just read that verse out of Hebrews 2:10, that God's intent was to bring many sons into glory. Maybe you've put that event off into the future. But Paul writes that the mystery of the ages, once held in reserve but now revealed to us, is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And there is inside of us the glorified Victor King, the spirit of the glorified Victor King Jesus. You know, if you want to know what Jesus looks like, go Read in Revelation. Read about the return of Christ. Read about Christ on the throne. It is glorious. It is victorious. And even Revelation speaks of these are the ones that are of me. They overcome all things. We all that Christ is, we have been made. We have been made everything that he is now. In fact, John writes in 1 John, as he is now, so are we in this world. And now we begin to introduce kind of an issue, because in many Christians, I would say most, we do not see the manifestation of the glorified Christ that the Bible says is within us. Now, having said that, all of Paul's teachings, this is going to put Paul in a new light, all of Paul's teachings are to exhort, train, and correct, and help people come into alignment with the glorified Christ within. Jesus said it this way. He said, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself and take up my cross. Paul says is preaching the same message, only he has many more details to add. Things like Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if we want transformation, let's think of it like this. We do what we believe. Our acts are defined by our beliefs. Well, let's just say it like this. Our acts are defined by our opinions. And if we truly want to be changed, if we truly want to establish a new way of living, we have to have our minds renewed. Okay? What does it mean to have your mind renewed? I'm going to skip the superficial and go real deep for a second, because this is starting to get long. In 1 Corinthians, this is so good. You should just go read like the first four chapters of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" You know, maybe you've heard that verse before. Amen, brother. Who has known the mind of the Lord? No one. That's a lie, because you didn't read the rest of the verse. But we have the mind of Christ. Now, if you want to be transformed, inwardly transformed, and that word in the Greek is transfigured, which is the same word that it talks about when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, the glorified Christ. If you want the glory that's within you to be revealed to the outside world, which is the point, then there has to be a transformation. There has to be a renewal according to the way you think and what you believe. Now, I know guys, but especially Americans, I mean, you know, I pride myself on my opinion. That's what most men would say. I have a strong opinion. And your strong opinion is keeping the glorified Christ locked up inside of you with layers and layers of selfish thinking, self-centered thoughts and opinions and masks and all kinds of things that you put up to protect yourself. But if you want the glory, like if we could get rid of all of those opinions and beliefs that do not agree with the mind of Christ, then you would be an outshining radiance of his splendor. You would speak to cancer and it would die. You would command dead people to get up and they would be raised. You would preach the gospel and see people respond with great repentance and signs and wonders and miracles. This is how the apostles operated. So if we want to participate with the real gospel, the real gospel is that everything that Jesus did was to get his spirit inside of you for the sake of God's long-range plan to fulfill every detail of that plan in the earth, even until all of his enemies are made his footstool, and we usher in and hasten the day, as Peter writes, the second return of the Lord, and all creation gets liberated as we receive our immortal bodies. Gosh. If we want those things to happen, then we have no right to our own opinion. Our own opinion is stopping glory. Our own opinion, our own selfish thinking, our unrenewed minds, our beliefs in stupid religious tradition and things about the way your opinion about church, like the classic example is why churches split about the color of the carpet. I mean, you talk about completely ridiculous. But we hold these things tightly, even ourselves. The amount of things that we hold dear to us that do not agree with the mind of Christ keeps Christ from being manifested in the earth. And even Paul writes, he said, the mindset on the flesh is an enemy of God, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Your opinions, your thoughts, your personal beliefs that do not agree with truth is making you an enemy of God. But a mindset on the spirit, which is the mind of Christ, is life and peace. This is what Paul meant when he said, I am a slave. I'm a prisoner of Christ. He has taken me captive. What did he mean? He meant that he is entirely ruled by the mind of Christ, which is, we don't have time, the spirit of God inside of us. The spirit searches all things, including the deep things of God. Who has not known the mind of the Lord to instruct him? No one. But we have the mind of Christ. We have within us the knowing of all things. And the job of the spirit, as John writes, Jesus speaking, is to lead us into truth. What is truth? The mind of Christ. And we have the word of God, which agrees with the mind of Christ. And the word of God is to instruct us into a life and a way and a being that it completely agrees with his mind. So today, may revelation come to you. May it unlock to you the ability to partner with God, not the God that's on the throne, but the God that's inside of you, in Jesus' name.